Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
A chance to have worked, you know, with Steve and John and Ed and all the folks at Pixar for as long as I have, has had trying to learn from that and appreciate what it really means to combine those things. A lot of people say that, like, I'm into the arts and science together. Aren't we happy? Sure. But ground truth when it comes down to it, what product are you actually building that you're putting in market that actually supports those agendas?
Orin Jacobs saw Star Wars as a kid and fell in love with the idea of bringing together technology and storytelling to create something entirely new. Today, he's the co-founder and CEO of Pullstring, a tech startup that teaches software how to have conversation. That could mean helping companies build an Alexa skill for Amazon's Echo or helping Hello Barbie to talk. I'm John Fort from CNBC, and you're listening to the Fort Knox Podcast, Rich Ideas and Powerful People. I do this weekly, bringing you the highest achievers. We're going to learn how the very best climb to the top and pull out lessons along the way. If that sounds good to you, make this a habit. Apple's podcast app is the most popular way to tune in, but there are all kinds of ways. Mainly just subscribe, and the internet can do the work for you. I caught up with Orin at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, Spain, where he spoke to leaders in the tech world about laying the groundwork for the future of voice interaction with computers. He told me how his early fascination with Star Wars led him to an internship and first career at Pixar before he decided to start his own thing.
So I want to dig into your background a little bit. Yeah. I think it's cool. First of all, you're married to your second grade sweetheart.
That's true.
Which is, we'll get into the family, because I think that's just a high school
sweetheart.
Justine
and I had our 17th anniversary on February 17th this year as well, too. So
that means
awesome.
You're, yeah.
That awesome.
But that's your wedding anniversary.
Yes.
I can't imagine how far you count back to actually second grade. And you were fascinated by technology after seeing Star Wars. You saw John Lasseter's Luxo Jr.
Yep.
And wanted to get into animation as well. So there's this kind of, I don't know, technology, human interaction, kind of how the real world gets represented. As a kid, which of those things, like, how did that evolve inside you?
How long do we have for this podcast?
A long time.
I'll give you the brief answer.
Long time till Tapas.
You're right. technology, entertainment, yes, crossed very effectively in Star Wars and other films like that. When I went to Berkeley, I was able to get an internship at Pixar and stayed there for 20 years. And working there, technology and creativity crossed there unlike any place else on the planet. And I think that while spending so long working with computers and technology to help things move, which is what Pixar does, we and I use computers and technology to help things talk, which is what Pullstring does. So there actually is quite a resonance in the approach to combining those two fields, humanities and science, together. I just always found that very interesting to work in that area, because your success case, in the case of Pullstring, is, does someone enjoy talking to their Alexa skill? Google Home Action. If they did, they're going to come back, and that's the win condition, not as some proof that the computer science is right or not. And the appreciation and celebration of the arts and science together has always been as part of what I've enjoyed doing, and I've been very lucky to do that now for 30 years of my career.
I was based out in Silicon Valley for about 14 years. The first two companies I was given to cover at the San Jose Mercury News were Adobe and Apple. Because I was a Cub reporter, and they didn't want to give me the important stuff. Back in the year 2000, Adobe and Apple was like, why don't you take those, right? And that intersection...
Little did they know.
Exactly, right? Lucky me.
Yeah.
That intersection between the humanities and science is something that I used to hear from Steve Jobs all the time. Yeah. And of course, he wasn't exactly a founder of Pixar. He kind of picked it up in a fire sale, right? But... from Lucasfilm, right?
Yes.
But so much of what Pixar has become, first trying to be a technology company and then realizing it was a studio, was about the intersection of those two things. How much did that influence what you think is important in the way you're trying to build Pullstring?
Well, I guess that's probably why natively I was attracted to working at a place like Pixar, because that was interesting to me as well. Certainly if you go back to early Macintosh stories and like properly kerned and ligatured fonts, Steve was the nerd about that from the very beginning and followed that as a theme through his whole career. So you're right to pick that up. That was certainly present both at Apple and at Pixar. Moving forward here to Pullstring, having a chance to have worked, you know, with Steve and John and Ed and all the folks at Pixar for as long as I have, has had trying to learn from that and appreciate what it really means to combine those things. A lot of people say that, like, I'm into the arts and science together. Aren't we happy? Sure. But ground truth when it comes down to it, what product are you actually building that you're putting in market that actually supports those agendas? And when you can't build everything. So when you decide what you are and aren't going to emphasize or not, there's a really hard set of decisions about that. Technologists and the technologist in me will always push for better APIs and stronger SDKs and more and more and more that way. And the film buff in me and the video gamer in me will look and say, well, is the product coming out here actually enjoyable? Do I like it? Do I want to talk that thing again? And those two things meet in a very frictionful place, but that makes it exciting. That's why it's not obvious. And I think as an approach, as a company we've taken, that's what differentiates us very substantially. Our customers find that our software emphasizes that very much, and that's not true to most people in the field.
So I want to find out how you get to found a company, right? Because I think there are a lot of people who have dreams of doing stuff like founding a company, writing a book, but it's hard. And founding a company in particular takes a whole bunch of money in a lot of cases, because not only do you have to make a living, but if you need anybody to help you, they've got to make a living too. So maybe, I don't know, being at Pixar for a long time helped with that?
Certainly Pixar to this day treats its employees very well. So I certainly had several months after I left Pixar to think about what I wanted to do, and that is a privilege for sure. But we had, within half a year or so of leaving the studio, Martin and I had connected. He also came from Pixar years before. Two became six, and then raised our first investment capital about a year after leaving the studio, roughly speaking. So there was a couple months there where, with my 17-year-old married wife, we looked at our family budget and we're like, okay, look out, look out, look out. But you know, you draw a little triangle graph and go, don't get there. We didn't get there and moved on. So that takes a leap of faith for sure. But it's also not years, right? Once you commit to do that as your full-time thing, what you think is a 40-hour-a-week job just takes over your whole mind. You kind of can't work on that 9-to-5. So you suddenly start spending like twice and three times the effort you normally would, and you quickly will motivate to go find the right seed investor or the right person to help you raise your first capital, whatever the business may need to do. You won't find yourself taking years to do that because you're motivated very strongly to get that working quickly. So
you are innovating in computer conversation, which when you started the company or started these efforts, not as many people were familiar with, but lately with Alexa, the Amazon Echo, Microsoft Cortana, Google Assistant, Apple Siri, it's all the rage. What is it that you do in this space that's helping it become more of a big thing?
We build tools that folks use to make computer conversation. So like you would use Photoshop to work on a digital picture or Microsoft Excel to work on a spreadsheet, you can use Pullstring Converse to build and design a conversation, which then you can have on Alexa and other platforms as well too.
Now, when I first met you, we can't agree on exactly the terms of how this happened. But I remember that I came away from that knowing that I had to download this app, Toy Talk, with this cute little character that, you know, kids interact with this thing.
That was called The Winston Show.
The Winston Show. Yes. That's right. This is before Amazon Alexa and all that stuff. What were you doing when you started out on this effort, and how did that fit in?
I think that the idea of being able to talk back and forth to characters is what motivated Martin and I to start the company. And back then, right when we began in late 2011, Apple actually did announce Siri many moons ago back then as part of the operating system. But no one had taken that like in an entertainment angle or particularly tried to build really credible, like high fidelity conversation. It's very sort of utility and fact-based. So we began building entertainment products in the children's space. The Winston Show was one of those. The company evolved to work with Mattel, to work on the Hello Barbie Talking Barbie doll, and do many other products with partners in the years since then. And then a couple years ago, Amazon Alexa happened, Google Assistant happened, Cortana happened, and the space opened very broadly. And so now the software that we built to create computer conversations, what we sell as a company, to large companies and enterprises who want to build themselves.
So how different is it now from what it was like back then? Because back then, you were dealing with the processor, right, in the iPad.
Do you mean it's like as a field or as a product?
Well, as a field and I guess the computer brain that you're able to plug into. Okay. Because now you're dealing with Microsoft's cloud, Apple's cloud, Google's cloud, Amazon's cloud, processing conversation. And I guess that makes for better conversation possibilities for the software you're writing, right?
Well, I'll say a couple things. It was a very empty, small swimming pool five, 6 years ago when we started. It's now a very big, very crowded swimming pool. So welcome to the party, everybody. That's super good news. But back then, Siri was out and there was one or two or three companies just dabbling in the space. And now that the large technology giants are all in, it's changed a lot of ways. So you highlight a couple. One is that speech recognition accuracy is very good now. For normative, accented main languages across the globe, you're talking about 95% or better accuracy rates. That was not the case at all 5 years ago. Intent recognition, how well computers can not only just hear the words you say, but understand what you're saying, has also gotten way better as well, too. All the companies you mentioned offer those capabilities, broadly speaking. So Polestring itself now can build upon those technologies, and I don't have to build it from scratch anymore. But that's a gift. I don't want to compete with those guys on speech recognition, intent recognition. But I do want to really help build great, exciting, entertaining conversation that folks want to talk to. So we focus in that area specifically now. And that's really different than 5 years ago. That was not there at all.
Second grade was a big year for Oren. I mean, his life started to take shape. As our conversation continues, we connect the dots on education and dealing with the unexpected.
Oren, where's the beauty and the art in this voice landscape that we're getting? Because right now it seems like you're asking questions, you're getting it. It's very sort of transactional, basic, and robotic in a way.
Yep.
Are we getting to someplace else where these computers are going to be telling us a story or singing a song or doing something that's a bit more fun?
Well, yes. That's why Polestring exists. I guess I would say that, you know, if you're at the airport flying home a couple days from now and you meet someone getting some tapas in the Barca airport and they answer you like a robot does, you will stop talking to them in about 10 seconds because they're boring and go talk to somebody else who's not boring. So the minute that we are able to and continue to increase the fidelity of conversation to make it interesting and connected, listen better and respond better, that will easily dominate the field. No one comes to your house and says, "Hi, John, I'm boring. Have me over for dinner. Thanks, goodbye." Slam. Like, no. You invite over dinner guests that you want to talk to. And we're very lucky at Polestring to have gotten to work with a lot of media companies. We've built things like, in our software, the SpongeBob SquarePants skill on Alexa. When you bring a character in...
Just saying SpongeBob SquarePants skill is funny.
That's so right. I already want to talk to it.
Yeah, I got to stay there for a moment before we move on. Okay.
So as you're trying to decide what menus or items are coming on and off the Krusty Krab order list in the fast food chain, you're talking to SpongeBob in your house. Taking a different tack with Destiny 2, the video game, our software is used to build the in-game Destiny 2 Alexa skill as you change weapons and armor and call for help in your multiplayer combat arena in full character as the ghost, and the character speaks to you back and forth. When you start seeing things like that get built, yes, I know entertainment companies will go there first, but all the other brands and companies out there, from insurance to travel to pharma to healthcare to retail, pick your favorite vertical, if they continue to bring out skills that diminish personality and don't really engage, people won't want to speak to them. But you push that forward because it's conversation. We're using language. We're doing each other right now here. That's innately interesting. People talk to each other all the time. So the space will go there, and we're trying to help it get there faster.
Okay, so hit rewind for me. You see Star Wars for the first time. Yeah. You're how old?
Seven. Yeah, I guess, yeah.
So right around the time when you're meeting your wife.
Yes, very close to second grade. That's right. A lot happened then, yeah.
That's a big year for you. figured out what you wanted to do with your life at seven. What was your first either creative project or business or thing you were into as a kid that you can trace some of this all the way back to?
Wow. It actually will cross back through Star Wars, back to Steve Jobs and Apple. My elementary school was very fortunate to be one of the very first schools to get the a grant for a dozen Apple II. I say Apple IIe, like an old school, legit Apple II, like cassette drive 32K RAM. We eventually got the floppies and then the green little 9-inch screens things. And I joined the computer club right away. And we used to spend after school hours in like third and then through fourth grade at University Park Elementary in Irvine growing up, playing Mad Lib games, then became Space Invaders, then became, you know, other set of graphic game things, but also we had programming classes in BASIC. And that crossed at Star Wars within a year or two of each other in the late 70s. And I guess that's the tracing back to that, was I started to build your own programs, oh, I can do my own games now, maybe I could like do some. Then some local businesses wanted, some years later, wanted help setting up VisiCalc for the local like hardware store. I can do that. We volunteer forever, paper out money. But yeah, it just became a thing that I was interested in doing. And that expression of technology and computers carried through my entire life since then.
There's some good, you know, great coding workshops for kids and programs online right now. What should schools be doing more of to not only capture that sort of experience that you had as a kid that got you into this, but even accelerate it for the time we're in now?
That's a great question. I strongly support teaching computer science at the grade school, the high school level. I'm very fortunate my kids are going to a school that offers that now for several full year courses. That's at high school level. If you back up there to junior high school and earlier, a lot of kids love Minecraft, and Microsoft was lucky to pick that up. That's great. I play Minecraft too. I'm into that. More importantly,
Could you believe they paid $1 billion for it?
Easy. That they got a deal.
Yeah. But at the time, it seemed pretty wacky.
It seemed, but like
it was the first major thing that Satya Nadella bought. And people were like, Minecraft for $1 billion? Like,
right, yeah, but because of this, right, customization and modding of Minecraft is a spectacular way to motivate kids as young as third or fourth grade, if not younger, depending on what resources you have, to like first change the colors of your blocks all the way to like changing the entire structure of the game. If you're already into Minecraft, which is collaborative and awesome in lots of ways, that's a phenomenal way, I think, for people to get access to developing and understanding how you can use computers to do what you want them to do. So that's what my kids are guilty of, Minecraft modding pretty heavily as well, too.
To try to bring these things together, are we ever going to get to the point where we are coding by talking?
Interesting question. I have had that conversation a couple of times. I think we're still a little far from that because of the specificity with which one tries to code. And that's an interesting like difference between language, English, and language Python or JavaScript. Mm-hmm. And computer languages are highly precise, super accurate, but very small aperture. They're very fussy. One missing semicolon, one missing curly brace, and you're done. English language in general is super imprecise, totally inaccurate, but is as broad to consider the entire human condition. This is why computer conversation is hard. So to use a thing as imprecise as us speaking and English or Spanish or Castilian or Catalan to write Python or JavaScript seems tricky to me. But instead, elevating computers to give computers the gift of language may enable us to not have to speak Python, but speaking English, get them to do things for us that way.
It's easier to go from precise to general than the other way around.
Right. We're on that journey now. And there's $1 billion times each one of Amazon, Google, and Facebook, and Microsoft, and Apple being poured into this space to get that to happen, right? To give the gift of language to a computer so we can talk to them and talk to each other.
I want to talk, finally, about this, I guess it's fair to say, pivot that you made from toy talk to enterprise platform for what's computer conversation.
Yeah.
What was that like? Because you were trying to build something else, at least as a proof for what the technology could do at first, and then you have to switch things up pretty dramatically.
You know, company changing direction is very hard. And we realized that the technology we had built internally that allowed us to make the Winston Show and other product, and other entertainment products like that itself suddenly was far more valuable because the rest of the field opened up.
When did you realize that the Winston Show wasn't going to be on Netflix?
I'll tell you, you know, being in the family entertainment space in mobile and digital and building a company from the ground up there was very hard. In fact, I don't think anyone's actually pulled that off. It's very successful for Disney and Nickelodeon and companies who already have existing brands, but that's a hard challenge. Any company's hard, but that's particularly hard. We would have carried on with that felt if we felt we could have won that. But in the meantime, we actually, the software system we built internally, we called Pulstring. And we had this phenomenal system that was very expressive and very powerful and can support some of the biggest experiences in the market already out there. And then the rest of the field exploded around us. So we should just tell that, because that is unique in the space. We're 5 years ahead of all the competitors out there trying to build things like this. Let's bring that to market and give that a go. That's a hard soul search, and you meet with the team, and like, we're going left, and there we are. So
what does the end game look like for you now? Is it possibly getting bought or going public? How is profitability look? I mean, it's different from trying to get people to download an app. Now you're selling to businesses that want to get on Amazon. I mean, that's got to be worth quite a few bucks.
From you to all their ears, yeah. Certainly, as an enterprise SaaS business now today, we sell to medium to large size businesses in general. It's a remarkably different business than retail app downloads, broadly speaking. Then again, there's the most successful meaningful business in the space. And if you look at how well Adobe has done, since you said you started back in 2000 watching this Photoshop thing, is that still important?
Is Quark going to take them out?
Turns out no, and Adobe went to go eat that space now. They're remarkably valued in the space because they offer such a comprehensive solution. And the fact that we go from initial design all the way to deployment, everything in the middle is done on the platform from day one. And we have a major release announcing tomorrow, by the way, so glad to be here to talk about that. That gives us a big advantage in the space to build a meaningful business in computer conversation we want to do. So we're off to that as fast as we can.
So are you trying to stay independent? Are you taking Adobe's calls? I mean, it seems like a space
I'm happy to have a cup of coffee in Barcelona, but yes, we're happy to stay independent and run the business there.
All right, Oren, thanks so much for sitting down with me live in Barcelona at Mobile World Congress. Fascinating space. I mean, everybody likes talking to Alexa. It's the reason I don't have Alexa at home, because I've got a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old, and they would drive me nuts.
So I have to tell you, when we unboxed our first Echo, and I got it working and said, hey, you know, Alexa, this, that, and the other, my daughter walks over, hey, Alexa, can I order 1 gallon of chocolate ice cream? Boom, boom, add it to your list. Hey, Alexa, can I order 10 gallons of chocolate ice cream? Boom, boom, and you look. Hey, Alexa, can I get 100 gallons? Like, tell me, what are you doing? So yes, your kids will immediately attach to it that fast, and you will then go delete, delete, delete on your Amazon Fresh list right after that time.
That's why I don't have one.
Yeah.
Siri I can control, right? She only responds to my voice. Yeah. They have to ask, they have access to her. Yeah. Alexa, man, she's crazy. I can't let her in. Wait, Oren, thank you.
Thank you very much, John. Appreciate it.
I think it's cool how technology and creativity were woven so much into Oren's experience. And that combination of George Lucas and Steve Jobs, if you didn't catch it, Pixar was actually born out of Lucasfilm, and Oren had been inspired by Star Wars, so it all ties together. I'm John Fort from CNBC. This has been Fort Knox, Rich Ideas and Powerful People. Subscribe on Apple's podcast app or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. Check out the reviews on iTunes. Leave me a note. Also, subscribe to the Fort Knox channel on YouTube. That's FORTTKNOX.com/YouTube. Follow me, John Fort, on Facebook and Twitter. There you'll see video from some of these interviews, and you can say hi to me live, usually Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. There, I'll tackle some of the most interesting business and economic issues with a little help from my friends at CNBC and from you. Just go to YouTube and search for Fort Knox, or go to Facebook or Twitter and search for John Fort and follow me. Meanwhile, share this. Tell a friend. Drop me a note on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, or FortKnox.com. And as always, thank you for lending an ear.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.